Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio is my wife of 52 years, Laverne Kreider.
Oh, this has been fun, hasn't it?
It's been fun, yes. It's been so good having you on the podcast with me as we talk about these different tests of leadership. If you have not joined us before, we are right now in the process of talking about tests that leaders go through. And of course, everybody goes through these to a degree, but leaders especially go through different kinds of tests. And we've covered, I think, six different tests already. There'll be 21 total coming from my book, Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership. There's more in the book than we have time for here, but also we share things here that are not in the book. Mm-hmm. We're sharing things we've learned together.
And we also want an impartation, not
right.
just information.
Exactly.
We're just really praying as we dialogue together and share together, that there's an impartation that comes
right.
forth, and instead of just information.
Exactly.
Yes.
Agreed, totally. And that's why I'm so glad we can do this podcast together. Here's bottom line. And by the way, we're talking about the test of criticism today. The test of criticism. An effective leader accepts criticism and learns to grow in the process. And that's a hard thing. It's been hard for us over the years.
It is, because I hate criticism. And because what happens, my first reaction, and we are going to receive it, especially
yeah.
leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just maybe there's maybe a higher profile, or you're speaking, and you're just out more in public. You're just kind of be a target for criticism.
That's true.
And my first reaction often with criticism over the years, God has done a good work in my life,
right.
but it's been just rejection. You know,
yeah.
just shut
yeah.
down, rejection.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel rejected. And so it's learning how to hear, okay, what is God saying in this?
Yeah.
Just immediately keeping my heart just soft and,
yeah.
and say, where is God? What's God teaching me
right,
through this?
Right. I'd even say the worst kind of criticism is when there's false accusation.
Yes.
And you know it's wrong, and you know they're saying it. And especially in this days of social media, which we're in right now, it's much harder today, I think, much harder than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago. And so, again, false accusations, I think, are the worst kinds of criticism to deal with. Again, I've often asked people, do you like criticism? And, you know, Laverne, there's a few that say yes, because
mm-hmm.
they have learned. And just recently, I was teaching a group of leaders, and I said, how many of you really like criticism? And one person said, yes, I knew why, because they had learned that there's things they can learn from constructive mm-hmm. criticism that can help them. But the worst kind, obviously, is the false criticism, the things that just simply aren't true. And I like Romans 12:9 says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. We've got to realize God is the vindicator. We can trust him. So I remember a man who was a friend of mine, was part of our church years ago, and he decided to leave for some reason, I forget why. And a couple years later, he called me, and he said, Larry, could I meet with you? And it was with me and I think another pastor. And so we met, and here's what he said. He said, I learned something I need to tell you. He said, I learned that there are two ministries at the throne of God. The one is the ministry of intercession, and the other is the ministry of accusation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Jesus is interceding
yes.
day and night.
Yes.
But he said,
so
the devil is accusing day and night, just like he accused Job to God. He said, I realized I've been in the wrong ministry. I've been in a ministry of accusation. He said, I've been accusing you of things. And I said, it was so wrong. He said, I'm so sorry. I said, well, forgive. I didn't even know a lot of this. I said, of course we forgive you. He's become one of my dear, dear, dear friends, praying for us for years. It's just we need to know that if we handle criticism God's way, he can turn it around for good for us.
And even false criticism. I mean,
right.
false accusations, as you said. The key is how we as a leader walk humbly before the Lord. To me,
right.
The key is just immediately going to the Lord in humility, saying, Lord, where are you going in this?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I learn through this? Even if it's like 99%
right.
False,
right.
we can still learn from some things.
Exactly.
Because God's always at work in our lives. And the key is I see that so many times And I know in my own life, the times I get cynical,
right,
you know,
right,
or
right,
you just get real defensive. And then what happens? Your heart gets a little hardened,
right,
and it gets
right,
hardened to people. And I know this happened to me one time when I really felt really misunderstood. The accusations were flowing, and we were young. We were
sure,
young and stupid in a way.
Right.
But I just remember standing in my house and saying, okay, I am going to shut myself down,
yeah,
from people because I don't want to get hurt again.
Right.
And in that moment, the Lord said, but if you shut yourself down to people, you'll shut
wow,
this relationship here.
Wow.
And I remember just like they asked me, like, oh, no, I want to keep this intimate relationship with you, God. And so it's like, yes, I would be willing to just keep my heart soft and tender. Yes, I might get criticized, but Lord, you're going to carry me through this. And I want to just stay soft and tender and wise, walk in the wisdom of God through these situations.
Yeah. You know, some people say, what do you do with criticism when it comes your way? Do you simply turn it off and just forget it? Or, you know, should you receive it? Or, you know, how do you do that? And I think there's times, God's always a vindicator.
Yes.
So we need to realize that He will vindicate us. He will. We've seen that 1,000 times in our lives. Here we are, you know, in our 70s.
Yes.
God has vindicated us again and again. We have done stupid things, but God has always vindicated. And that's true. There's times you just say nothing.
But we've had to learn some hard lessons through
right,
some of that.
We did. Yeah. And then the other times we simply need to really, we need to maybe talk to them. Mm-hmm. And we need to tell them the truth, you know, and share the truth in love. And so, you know, I think it was 1 Peter chapter 5 says this. It says we should be ready to give a defense, now, but only with gentleness and respect as the Holy Spirit directs us. But, you know, that's true. That's how we respond.
Yeah, and I think the key is that we give up the desire to control or fix something immediately.
That's good.
And then from that place, you know, that we are at a place of on the altar, so to speak,
right,
at the cross, then the Holy Spirit can give us wisdom. We won't come from this place of grasping or trying to fix this,
right,
and trying to prove ourselves, but it'll come from a place of, no, the wisdom of God's flowing through us. You know, God's the one that's at work. We're giving God time to work here. You know, there's a scripture in James 3:17 that says, but
that,
the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I like that test for my life.
Yeah.
And I know I can't judge other people's hearts. Well, let's say criticism comes, and it's not from that place of just that, a place of love, a place of pure
being
peace.
Open, willing to discuss it and talk about it.
It comes from a place of selfish ambition. You can often sense that.
Yeah.
But even so, we have to really trust God that He'll work through those situations, and that we just keep our hearts very soft and tender in the Lord.
God wants us to stay gracious in the midst of in the midst of differing opinions. And today, there's so many people just giving their two cents, what they believe is important, and without being gracious, especially in the church. We need to be gracious to one another, even if we agree to disagree.
We can
do that.
Yes.
But let's at least be gracious. People say to me, when somebody has something they say against me, you know, well, do I just take it? Do I just, you know, do whatever they say? And say, no. But we need a few people around us that we can trust. There needs to be this few persons that we can trust. It could be somebody's a spiritual leader, someone's a friend, it could be a family member, but a few people we can trust in the midst of that. And also, we can know we have blind spots. I have blind spots. We all have them.
Yes.
You know, in blind spot, you're driving down the road and you look to the right. If you're not careful, somebody can hit your car because they were the blind spots, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't see my blind spots, and other people help me by telling me things that I really need to know.
Mm-hmm. That's why on our car right now, we have a little lights that come on.
I love it. Helps me with my blind spots.
Oh, my goodness, that helps a lot. But there's little lights that need to go immediately when we have criticism, that we immediately say, I'm going to humble myself before the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to release my desire to fix this and control. Okay, Holy Spirit, you lead now from this place. What can I learn from it? And what steps do I need to take, if any? So it brings us an incredible place of peace.
About 25 years ago, I'm guessing, maybe 30, I learned something that really helped me. And again, I learned from somebody else I picked up somewhere along the line. And that is, I realized that when somebody has a criticism against me, I have three options, three choices. Choice number one is I can simply internalize it, swallow it, and get depressed, and it can throw me off emotionally, whatever. Yeah. I can do that. That's not the right way to handle it, but that's one thing I can do.
But it'll lead to bitterness.
It will. The second thing I can do, and by when I do that, by when I simply say, there's that problem. So
yeah.
I don't learn anything I should learn.
Yes,
the second thing I can do, first is internalize. The second thing I can do is I can simply say, well, these guys, you know, these have issues, and I got to go talk to them about it, and I got to tell them how I'm right, and you know, try to defend myself, and all that whole row. But there's a third way. And the third way is there's often in the midst of criticism, maybe 1%, mm-hmm. maybe 2% of something that'll change my life a little bit. Mm-hmm. And often where I've made the mistake so often, I look at the package, the person who's sharing it, and I see all the problems they have. And I think, well, who are they to tell me what to do? You know, and that is wrong. That's the wrong way to do it. But if I can take it to the Lord and say, what's mm-hmm. like the 1%, 2%,
yes.
anything I could shift, I could change it a little bit and allow that to change my life. That's made all the difference in life for me. I found the third choice was the best.
Yes, and that takes grace. We need grace to walk in that place.
It does.
And humility, grace and humility.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. And the truth is, if I'm all over it, I'm all over it, and think, then that person begins to control my life.
Yes, and then we pick up offenses.
We do.
Don't we?
Yeah. Yes. In fact, I wake up in the morning. The first thing I think about is what that person said, and make them the villain.
Yes.
You know how
the
whole thing works. I like what you said before. You said we need to release control, and we often want to fix things. And I think that's so true. And that's why we got to walk in the wisdom from above, mm-hmm. as you said. Well, in James 3:17. So let's talk about becoming offense proof just for a moment. There are some toxic attitudes that can paralyze us mm-hmm. and eventually destroy a leader's faith and leadership if we're not careful. And one of these toxins is taking an offense. And so let's just talk about that for a few minutes, because if we take an offense, not only are we blinded to our own issues, our own lives, we're not helping anybody else in the process.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I think offense comes from often unforgiveness in
true.
Our lives.
True.
Where we take something in or hurt by something, and then we marinate it and meditate on it, and we become obsessed with it then.
Yep.
And then exactly what you said, we carry it with us, and forgiveness is a real key. The forgiveness, we might not feel it, but at the cross, there is forgiveness.
There is.
And walking in that. And I just have a couple of scriptures written here. Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel.
Wow.
That's there in the NIV. Taking offense often allows the devil to build an anti-God stronghold around us, based on unforgiveness. And from that stronghold, the devil can attempt to cut us off from the body of Christ and lead us into a sin. Another one is the Bible has much to say about taking offense.
Yeah.
Matthew 13:57 tells us that the people in Jesus' hometown were offended because of him. Jesus said in Matthew 18:7 that offenses must come.
Yeah.
And that's true. Offenses will
come. It will happen.
It's how we respond, isn't it? But in Luke 7:23, he said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And in John 16:1, Jesus declared, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble or be offended. And the psalmist said that. He said, Psalms 139, he says, you know, search me, check my heart, see if there be any offense in me. That we open up our hearts and say, Lord, look into us. See if there be any offense in us. We want to be free from offense.
Exactly. I think that offense is probably one of the devil's biggest tactics to throw leaders off.
I think so.
I really think so, because you get offended and unforgiveness comes in, and then you no longer can hear the clear word of the Lord.
And it starts really small.
It does.
You know, the scripture in Hebrews 12, it says, don't fall short of the grace of God.
Right.
Lest a root of bitterness spring up.
A little root.
We can, you know, and it defiles us and others. And so there is this place of walking in God's grace, receiving his grace, when these things, criticism comes against us. So we don't take offense. And it's easier said than done.
Right.
But it is possible to walk in freedom from offense.
This is kind of a humorous story, but it's true. Some parts of the world I go to, they catch monkeys for zoos. And the way they do that is they go out where the monkeys are, you know, in the jungle, wherever they are, and they have a trap. And the trap has like bars. And they put inside the bars, they put a banana.
Mm-hmm.
So the monkey comes up, reaches inside these bars, grabs a banana. If he releases the banana, he can go free.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, hangs on, he can't get out of the bars. because his fist is so big, you know, the bar is holding back. So the humorous part of this is get your hand out of the trap monkey.
Yeah.
And the truth
is,
there's a little booklet that somebody in Australia, I think, wrote some years back. It's amazing. But it's so true. We have to choose to release.
We have to let go.
And let God.
Yeah.
And let God deal with it. God, again, God's a vindicator. Look back on our lives. I'm just so grateful. God's been so good to us. You know, we've had lots of opportunities. We've made lots of mistakes. Others made mistakes. But, you know, relationships are what count. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're all imperfect people. But we release and we let go and we trust God and we keep good relationships. And that's what the kingdom of God is really all about. You know, at various times in Scripture, a prayer and forgiveness are coupled together. And so Mark 11:24, 25, 26 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours. And then when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, isn't it interesting? Mm-hmm. He says, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So if I don't forgive others, God cannot forgive me. So isn't that amazing?
Serious. I mean,
yeah.
Is,
so yeah. Prayer and forgiveness are often go hand in hand. If we want to see the Lord work in our lives, we want to see God's grace released in our lives, we need to learn to be good forgivers. I believe that's really what that's all about. And again, all of us go through times where we feel like, you know, we can pick up an offense. We feel like people have said things unjustly about us. It happens to all of us. I had a friend who told me, he was a youth pastor, and he said, when I grew up in high school, he said, I was in the football team, and the town loved me. They used to love me. I could do no wrong. And he said, I was a good football player. And he said, we had the championship game. And he said, at the championship game, I messed up. He said, I should have zigged when I zagged, he said. And he said, I'm really, really messed up. He said, it was amazing. The whole town turned against me. Oh. I was a star kid.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. He said, I came home that night. I was so down, so depressed. And he said, I went to bed. He said, and what I didn't realize is that people from the town came and used soap and wrote horrible things about me on the windows of our house. And he said, I was blown away. The next morning I got up and I walked into the hallway and looked out the window and I noticed that the windows were all clean and my dad met me in the hallway. And he said, my dad said to me, he said, son, those things they said about you, they aren't true. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't want you to see them again. He said, I want you to know that you are my son. And that's all that counts. And I am proud of you.
That's what we need to hear.
Yeah.
Just daily in our lives, minute by minute, that we're loved unconditionally by the Father. And we don't have to prove a thing. And we walk in that place of the unconditional love, the mercy seat of Christ, the cross, where love, mercy, and grace flow from Him, from the cross. And so in that place, if we can stay and live loved, that we're loved by our Father, it will keep us in check, you know, from
picking up
offense.
An offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll come, but it'll keep us.
But we don't have to pick it up. No. We choose to pick them up.
Yeah.
They will come. And you quoted it already, but from 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And our Father in heaven is proud of us. And we can walk with that affirmation, regardless of what anyone says or thinks about us. Now, we shouldn't do things that are stupid, obviously.
Yes.
But God's called us to walk in humility, offense-proof. Mm-hmm. Keep our hand out of the trap. Out of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really helped us. And Rick Warren said this, and I'll close with this. Rick Warren said this one time. He said, hurt people, that's true. But he said, it's also true that healed people, heal people. Yes. And so we're called to be healed people. Who heal people for the glory of God. I want to take a moment and pray for anyone who's going through an offense today. You might say, this is hitting me right where I'm at today. God wants you free. And I'm going to just declare over you freedom. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for freedom through the Spirit of God to bring freedom to every person under the sound of my voice in this podcast, Lord, that they would come to a place where they would forgive and release and receive grace from the Father in heaven.
Amen.
And know they are loved because you love them perfectly. And you are our heavenly daddy. And we trust you and we honor you. And give us grace to quickly walk, Lord, in the wisdom from above, the wisdom that's easy to be entreated, the wisdom that's easy where we can discuss things, wisdom that's filled with the grace and mercy of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. Check out the show notes, if you would, please. And more information there, some of the things we talked about here. Again, pick up the book on Amazon or wherever you buy books, Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership. And we just are taking week by week, learning more about leadership as believers in Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.